Welcome to the Homily Studio for Sunday, the 12th of October, which is the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, wherever you are listening. People listening in many parts of the Motu, across the Motu, but also in different parts of the world, perhaps exercising while you listen, or trying to go to sleep, or running, or desperately preparing for the Sunday homily, which you might be giving. Or you might be a lector at Mass and trying to prepare. Whatever, you are welcome. Who do we have in the conversation today?
Kia ora koutou, everybody. I'm Colin McLeod, work for the National Centre of Religious Studies, part of Te Kupinga and based down here in sunny Dunedin.
Kia ora koutou. I'm Jenny Dawson and I'm here in Otatahi. I'm an Anglican priest and I work as the spiritual director also, and the rain has stopped in this place where I live.
Thanks be to God. I'm there too, Jenny. We've had enough rain for the moment.
Yes, and I'm Rory Patterson, religious education advisor based in Christchurch.
Let's begin in prayer, taking a moment to be still and silent and aware, as I always say, because I do believe it to be central, that when we pray, we are not trying to twist the arm of God to fit into our little boxes and to do our will, but we're relaxing into the divine plan for us, the divine intention, which is much more than we could ever ask or dream or hope for our souls. Perhaps you are thinking of people that you love who might be suffering at the moment, who may need to know more intimately the presence of Jesus with them. And also we're thinking of our world, a place in which there is too much conflict, too many people in strife. And so we pray in the entrance antiphon for this 28th Sunday from Psalm 129. If you, O Lord, should mark our iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you is found forgiveness, O God of Israel. If you, O Lord, should mark our iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you is found forgiveness, O God of Israel. O God of Israel, as we pray especially in these days. Who's ready to go? We've had a little bit of a change of people in this conversation, given that one person who was to be with us has a family illness, and Jenny has come in at the last minute. Jenny, because you've come in at the last minute, you're probably most ready to go first.
I've done some prep, don't you?
I think so.
Well, I was so glad that you mentioned Israel with the antiphon, of course, and thinking our prayers are very much in with the Middle East at the moment. And this responsorial psalm, of course, for Sunday is about the nations. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Yeah. So I'm very conscious in all of the readings, actually references to the whole people of the world. Naaman, definitely Jewish, definitely not one to accept advice from Elisha easily. And also in the little bit before that reading, we hear how it was a small girl who told him what to do. Even little girls can speak the word of God. And of course, when we get into the gospel, this wonderful reading about the 10 lepers and the one who gave thanks. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what everybody has to say, and hoping that we can make it as wide as possible as we think of the nations.
Right. Now, Jenny, I'm going to put you on the spot because you've mentioned Naaman, who is in the first reading. Can you give us a one-sentence biography?
Naaman? Not a lot, no. Somebody else probably can.
Okay.
But he certainly, I'm not even sure where he came from. I should remember. No, I can't.
Ask him. Jump it. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that, Jenny, but
you did.
Rory's ready to jump in.
he doesn't mean that apology in any way. It was quite deliberate, and now it's my turn, and I have nothing to add on who the person of Naaman is either, to my shame.
Well, we know he's a leper because the scripture tells us that.
Mm.
Well, one of my problems with where we get the readings for Sundays particularly is that we get the reading and we have to open our Bibles to go back to see the context.
Well, I've
he was
just
commander
Googled
of the
yeah you've just Googled
army.
Is this cheating?
You Google it. You can Google it. What are you doing? But anyway, so
Syrian
Jephthah's
military
kind of,
commander. A Syrian military commander in the biblical account of 2 Kings 5, which is where we are, who was miraculously healed from leprosy by the prophet Elisha and converted to worship of the God of Israel.
I was just going to say that actually, John, because
Yes, Colin,
without looking at
you're
Google at all, it's
sure.
a look. What I think you have inadvertently revealed here is that though we bring great wisdom, we're very pastoral people, and I think the pastoral voice of this of these readings, that particularly how the first reading joins with the gospel, that sense of purity and cleansing and health. And what it means to be healthy was one of the things that struck me. And like you, Jenny, I feel that I'm drawn into constantly feeling as though I live in a world that is primarily unhealthy, primarily sick. And there's so much evidence of that. I certainly wouldn't resolve from that. But I found this reading sort of orienting me the other way, that I need to be thankful that in actual fact I'm also surrounded by health, God-given health, that potential to climb into a hope, a Christ-centered hope that allows me to know that peace will prevail, that to know that within us collectively as humanity, we're drawn towards being whole, being healthy. Even in the face of the unhealable, which I think leprosy represents in the scripture.
Which brings us very nicely into the gospel reading. Of course, the problem with these gospel readings is we know them so well, and at the moment the reading begins, as he, Jesus, entered one of the villages, 10 lepers came to meet him. We immediately, ah, know this one, and off we go to sleep, or we pick up our phones or whatever. But I would suggest it's really important to know that every time we hear, especially these gospel passages, this is an opportunity for a new encounter with Jesus, for him to speak to us in a new way. Sure, the words are the same, but I'm different than I was last time I heard this reading. So what can we, if we, given that most homilies will probably focus on this well-known gospel reading, what are we to say about the lepers healing Jesus noticing them calling out to him?
What I noticed for the first time on this reading was he saw them. And it's a phrase we use a lot today. Nobody sees me, I'm not seen. And yet Jesus saw these people who were obviously used to not being seen. And I always want to ask the question about the gospel stories. Who do we not see? And in ordinary life, who am I not seeing as I'm so busy doing whatever I'm doing or talking to the people I want to talk to? So Jesus saw these very undesirable people who were pushed to the margins of the community.
And they were pushed to the margins, it seems to me here, not only by the people who pushed these lepers to the margins, they must live outside of the town, but they themselves, what's the exact words? They stood some way off. So, yes, they sort of had to, but there are so many people who perhaps feel, perhaps because of a distance from the institution of the church, they feel as though they're at a distance from God. What they don't realize is that they're ripe for encounter. They're right there as long as they call out. So I think it's very important to accept as the fact, because it is, that more than 90% of baptized Christians in New Zealand have no contact with what many of us will be doing on a Sunday with Sunday worship. More than 90%. Now, if that were any business, we'd be asking questions, but we tend to just move on quietly. But many of these people, the 90 plus percent, are experiencing Jesus, are in relationship with the divine. So they're calling out for healing, but maybe what we need to do as people who might be part of the small percentage that is a part of Eucharist on Sunday, we need to be aware of our need and call out. Like, we are the ones in need of healing. It's not just those people.
Maybe some of them are standing on the on the side and see us as distant, as unwell. And maybe I think often those dialogues, when they come as gift, don't they? We get to encounter somebody who is other, and we have a conversation around that faith thing, and we find that it draws us both together. It's that healing happens in the space between us, doesn't it?
For me, I sort of took a similar reading to Colin's initial thoughts around the we're drawn to notice the ungratefulness of the nine who are healed and then disappear and aren't seen again. And that brings, reminded me to sort of focus on the importance of being present, being grateful for the existence that I have on a daily basis, and the privilege that I have, for example, that I know where my next meal is coming from. I know that in my house there's enough food. I know that for my children and myself and so on. And so that came through here, that it's implied that the one who is ultimately saved is in some way better than the other nine. And moving on from on that point, this started making, I was thinking about church, being church. These words from Jesus, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other nine? There is a focus on the deficit. And I think as church, we do that at times a bit too much. And I think there's a little bit of wisdom to be learned from the nine. And we're not always very good at that. And that's something to reflect on. How do we do that? How do we, because if we are genuinely intent on evangelization and so on, we have to know about those nine and how they work, what strategies are going to be effective and so on.
Yeah, I wonder as you're talking, Rory, were the nine overwhelmed by their wellness? That their lives had actually changed. They'd got their lives back, and were they so full of just how good they felt that they belted off to families? I know, in the story, where you can only read so much, but it's part of our Christian journey, isn't it, to read a little bit extra and would they have hunted him out later? Would they have? And maybe I could hear my mother saying to me, and would their mother have told them, did you thank him? Did you that those sort of anecdotal encounters that push us back to that reality?
Yeah, Colin, I like that very much because where are the other nine? Like the first guy may well have responded because we don't hear his response. They're actually on their way. Like they'll be here in 10 minutes. They're coming. They're behind me. I just ran fastest. So that's the suggestion your mother might have made, Colin. Like, did you say thank you? And thank you also is something it takes us a little while to, even people who pray as simply and childlikely, how do you say that? Childlikely, is make the sun shine tomorrow so I can play outside. When the sun shines, do we think of saying thank you, God, because we prayed? No, we just consider it to be a coincidence. But the gratitude is the evidence of the gift given being savored, I think. Beautiful.
When I
And an
read this,
interest.
oh, sorry, go, Jenny, you
No,
go.
you go. You go.
I was thinking of the nine and thought perhaps they were overwhelmed and with the fact that they had been healed, given that they're outcast, they can't be with the people they love and so on. And so was there an urge to be with them and not thank Jesus immediately, a quite a natural sort of thing to think of. It reminded me of if you've ever been doom scrolling on social media and you see the videos of, and I saw one by chance only a couple of days ago, a man in his 60s or so on, and he receives this package, his family are videoing, and he unwraps this thing, and it's a It's got some sunglasses in a case. Turns out the man, this you don't know this as you're watching, but the man has not been able to see color at all in his lifetime, and they've got these glasses that he can put on. And the family are overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed, and he starts to weep, and it, because he's just seeing this whole new world in his 60s that he's lived without. And it just dawns on him, you know, I've lived a lifetime here without seeing this stuff. So I wondered, were these nine lepers like that? They just wanted to absolutely overjoyed. They wanted to be with their loved ones and share that amazing healing experience with them. And that was a thought that crossed my mind.
Can I just drop in here that this Sunday is also what the New Zealand Catholic bishops and around the world have named as Support Life Sunday? And perhaps there is a tendency in some communities to focus on one or two or three issues. But just as you're speaking, Rory, I'm remembering a few years ago I was, you know, taking some time for prayer in the midst of a messy day, and I was suddenly overwhelmed with the fact that the world is in colour. Like it just suddenly. It had never occurred to me before. Like, if God had created the world in black and white, I'd be completely satisfied. I wouldn't know anything different. But this abundance of God giving color. And so, as I'm thinking about support life, I'm thinking of the first lettuces I planted under plastic yesterday. You know, so often with these life issues, we go down the, and I won't even name them because we know what they are, but we tend to get a little bit stuck, forgetting that. What a wonderful way to grow closer to the vine, to the divine, to plant a lettuce and then to watch it grow and then to be able to harvest and eat it. Like, and Pope Francis makes the point, speaking for this Support Life Sunday a few years ago, he said there's not a difference between the ecological life and the social life. Like, there's just, we're supporting life. And so my hope would be that anyone who's preaching on the Support Life Sunday would be to look at life in all its forms, in all its stages, in all its ages, all its beauty, all its color, and support life. So maybe people go home and instead of writing letters to politicians, they plant lettuces.
I was fascinated by Support Life Sunday because while we have the, September's the creation month and all of that, this is different. And it's too easy, I think, on Support Life Sunday to peel off one or two issues and make those that a campaign. But I found this lovely piece from Bishop Michael Dooley that I wrote down and I'm going to keep, because it seems so helpful. We are experiencing divisions that are the result of human behaviors and institutions. So the dignity of persons and our common home are under threat. That's what it's about for me. And the common home piece is definitely about lettuces, and the dignity of persons is about the lettuce planter, and that's all good. And this Jubilee year is a particular time, of course, as we come to Support Life Sunday. And I think there's a lot to be celebrated rather than bemoaning some of the things that sometimes get bemoaned on these days. It's a beautiful, the concept is a beautiful one. And while we're talking about cleansing and healing and your faith has saved you, there's something wonderful there about Support Life.
Yeah. Jenny, can you send Michael's piece there, like where you're quoting from Michael Dooley? Can you send me that little
I can
piece?
see.
I will add it to the bottom. Not
Send
now,
it
but
to you when
yeah.
we're finished.
I was thinking the same, Jenny, that notion of respect for life being centered on the dignity of the human person. You know, everybody made in the image and likeness of God, and all of us living in a world that's created by God and filled with God's love. And what happens when division enters it? So, and I think the a couple of you have mentioned that people will often sort of raise particular significantly important issues as part of Respect Life Sunday. But I think what can happen there too is a dualism often, that people plant a flag for a particular element of respecting life and can sometimes ignore others. And we think of that range of spectrum from the euthanasia and abortion, and think of LGBT sort of issues and stuff where there's division, and think of broken marriages and Eucharist and where that sits. There's just such a realm of issues associated with the living of life that are complex. And I feel that this sense of Jesus healing the lepers and wanting them to come to him as healed persons, that there's a message in that for me as church, that what I need to do is to fight my human instinct to prioritize the issue I hold most important and realize that there are actually a range of incredibly important issues. I believe in a God who sees every person as important as me, as important as the Pope, as important as Donald Trump, as important as a child in Gaza. You know, that there's a temptation, and I wonder if it's society, as in social media and all these, and just what's on the news, the choices that put items on the news, they draw us into a conflict of these issues. And in actual fact, our challenge as Christians is to recognize that there is more for us to focus on because of that central idea of dignity.
I think many of the things that we're saying are actually present in some way in the document prepared in 2023 by the Nathaniel Centre and published by the New Zealand bishops, Te Kahu o Te Ora. And could I encourage, I'll attach the document below this podcast for anyone who's interested, but my encouragement would be that, especially if you are preaching this weekend, set aside, look, half an hour will do it. And just look through this document. Just click on the link and look through this document because it will help you to see the full perspective of life. Like, in fact, the Catholic with a small c perspective, the universal perspective, because I think that kind of preparation, which we ponder, we pray, we reflect, we read, really helps us to communicate a message that is what timely and substantial and attractive.
I agree.
Time's gone. I can't believe it. Rory, were you going to?
I was just going to say, I think the word that comes through in that document about these the different life issues is interconnectedness. And so that's a word I find it enables me to understand how the different examples of life issues that we talk about in the church sometimes, how they impact on each other and how there is that need for consistency across them. So we can't pick and choose which ones we're in the yes column and which ones are in the no column and so on.
There was a wonderful little piece I was reading a couple of days ago. It's actually in Richard Rohr's The Universal Christ, saying that if you push something in this part of the world, here in, where was he, United States, something is shaken in New Zealand. He didn't say New Zealand, of course, but it was exactly the point you're making, Roy, the interconnectedness of all things, like every little move here. And then he concluded the little list of things by saying, you know, my little sin here actually affects world peace in some way.
Yes.
Everything's connected.
I just wanted to throw in one more little idea. In this year of the Jubilee year of hope, the focus on the deficit that I mentioned about the nine who have been healed but don't come back to say thank you, I'm always drawn back. I've said it before in this podcast that sometimes the second reading's a bit of an orphan, but I loved the line just at the end, or the two lines, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. And so that helps me in the context of the Jubilee Year of Hope. When I let myself down in terms of my relationship with God, that God doesn't let himself down or God's self down in relation to their relationship with me.
Take homes.
Take home, I have, surprises me because I think I would have, if I'm not preaching on Sunday, but I think if I was, I would be trying hard not to do the gratitude thing. It's so obvious. And yet that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. And that's really stayed with me. So thank you, brothers, for what you've offered me today.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you.
And my take home is to look for opportunities to be thankful, but also to look for opportunities to find wellness.
And for me, how do we avoid, how do I avoid, this is my takeaway, focusing on that deficit in terms of how I participate in my local faith community, how the community operates. How do I ensure that I'm not focusing on what is wrong, too much?
And mine, well, what would I say? Do what I did yesterday, plant lettuces. Let's be aware that Jesus has been with us in our conversation and in our listening as we listen to each other here and again, wherever you are, whatever your joys, hopes, griefs, and anxieties, we are not alone. Our life is supported. And in the collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday, may your grace, O Lord, we pray, at all times go before us and follow after, and make us always determined to carry out good works through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that a great line? A God who goes at all times before us and follows after.